You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
/7:21 on a Monday morning. Mike McNamara with you, joined by retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Justin Constantine. Somewhere, I'm thinking, in Manhattan today. Yes?
You're right, Mac. I'm in Manhattan, but I'm leaving this afternoon for an event with BMW out in Vegas.
You know what? That stuff's rough. Somebody's got to do it, though. So
Someone's got to do it.
We'll
jump on that grenade.
So are you a Vegas guy?
I'm not a Vegas guy, but this is BMW is getting ready to roll out a program for hiring veterans, so I'm happy to be a part of that. And so I don't really gamble, but I'll walk around and just some people watching while I'm there.
All right. I'm curious. I don't know that everybody's heard the story of how you've got involved in the whole veterans into business, veteran entrepreneurship. So talk about, I don't know that I could talk about politics today. My take is that the last election was not about Donald Trump. It was about the American public being sick and tired of business as usual in Washington, D.C., but what we get after a few minor modifications is business as usual, so I'm sick of it right now. So anyway,
I'm a little sick of it too, but also, I agree that the American people want to change, and that's what they voted on, but it also ties in, and we may have talked about this before, that our infatuation with celebrity figures, they carry so much more weight than they do. And, Donald Trump is an example, but so is Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton and many others. And so that's so frustrating to see also, and to see it all the time.
Well, I go back to, I don't know if you and I have had this discussion, but, what changes it, So name recognition and ability to raise money. If you can do those two things, you can run for president. And it's a little bit distressing when you see it, because that's exactly what we got in the last election. We didn't get the two best candidates. I mean, if those were the two best candidates this has to offer and this nation has to offer, pack it up, folks. We're in trouble. We're in trouble.
Danger close.
Danger close. Speaking of that, there's a series on the Smithsonian Channel. I think it's called The Real Story. And what it does is it looks at, I think it's a lot of movies or popular stories, and then they kind of go behind the scenes and they tell you what really happened. Apollo 13, they go into the analytics of what happened on Apollo 13, and as opposed to what you saw in the movie, the differences in the movie. They go into, there's an episode about Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Okay, so what is a close encounter of the first kind? What is a close encounter of the second kind? And they go through all this, like, kind of UFO stuff and how Spielberg found the ideas. The ideas he found were in reports to, this commission that had been set up. And so, but the one I saw was Oliver Stone. I watched one about Oliver Stone's platoon. And then what was the other one? It was about Firebase. It was during the course of telling of Oliver Stone's making a platoon. Now, Oliver Stone, I did not know this, but he served in Vietnam. He was a member of Long Range Reconnaissance Patrol. He was a member of the 1st CAV. I mean, so he was involved in some serious stuff in Vietnam. And so that's what platoon is about. And every piece of platoon is based on, something that happened factually. And he may have morphed it into a little bit something else to tell the story. So it was fascinating. And one of the stories is a firebase that he's in that essentially half of it gets overrun in the middle of the night by an NVA, regiment.
Yeah.
And they interview, he's a first lieutenant at the time, but he calls in napalm strikes essentially on top of their position, tells everybody to get in their hole, and he tells the story, and then them lowering the guns. This is the second time I've heard this in like 3 months. Lowering the 155s, putting flechette rounds in it, and just letting it rip. And you sitting there, exactly. You're sitting there listening to it, him tell the story, and that's all you sit there and say, wow. Wow.
It's hard to even picture what that must have been like.
Yeah, exactly. At night, going to be overrun, blah, 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 blah. Another day in Vietnam. The email says this, Mac, what's the name of that show? I think it's called The Real Story. I'll go check it out, but I was watching that in Vietnam.
There's probably some fascinating episodes on there related to Marines and others, too, because, like you said, we often only see the wave tops of stories, like Apollo 13, we saw a movie. Okay, well, what really happened?
I'll tell you what, that's fascinating. And I'll tell you what, and it's done with the quality of the Smithsonian channel, right, which is pretty meticulous. In fact,
no fake news there.
Yeah, Matt Morgan was talking about when he made the Unknown Flag Raiser. He said we kind of put it together and we were very meticulous and whatnot. And then the Smithsonian Channel rolled in with their kind of fact checkers and the way they do things. And so there's other things we had to ramp up and to be, to the quality that they wanted, the veracity they wanted. So anyway, interesting. Anyway, that in aside, so we don't have to talk about politics.
well, we were talking about veteran
on. Yeah, how did talk to us about you're a lawyer by trade. Are you practicing law when you go to do this civil affairs thing? What are you doing as a civilian?
Yeah, so now, I practiced as I joined the Marine Corps when I was in law school. So when I went to OCS, it was after my second year, during the summer after my second year of law school. So I finished that, went back to law school, finished my third year. Took the bar exam in Colorado. I went to Law School, University of Denver. Mm-hmm. And then once I got the bar results, went to TVS. And then Naval Justice School after that. So my first duty station was Okinawa. I was on Camp Foster. I was a criminal defense lawyer for a year. Had lots of clients over there, which is, no big surprise. But then criminal prosecutor for about 4 years at Camp Pendleton. And then I left active duty in 2004 and joined the reserves the next year. When I deployed to Iraq in 06, it was just a civil affairs team leader, so I was not deployed as a judge advocate. I was attached. My team was attached to 3-2 with Colonel DeGrossier, and they, of course, had a battalion staff judge advocate assigned to them, and he handled all the legal stuff. Our civil affairs team had nothing to do with that. We were close to Colonel DeGrossier, actually, on doing civil affairs and typical infantry work as well. So that was that. I was injured in 06. I recovered, stayed in the reserves until 2013. Ultimately, I was promoted to, in the reserves. I worked in D.C. I also worked as a reserve SJA down with in Florida with Marine Corps South, and ultimately was promoted to lieutenant colonel and then retired as lieutenant colonel. So I stayed in the legal field until then. In my civilian life, I practiced as an attorney with the Department of Justice doing immigration work. I was also on Capitol Hill with the Senate Veteran Affairs Committee, so overseeing VA legislation for a couple of years, and then with the FBI for almost 3 years on a counterterrorism team in D.C. I left that at the same time I retired in 2013 and finally started my own business full time. So that's where I am now. I'm no longer practicing as an attorney. I'm no longer practicing as an attorney. I am an inspirational seeker and an author. I do a lot with veteran employment. I am now starting to target law firms as potential clients for my seeking because they face a lot of challenges when it comes to leadership in law firms because most of them have never learned how to lead people. important part of their business. I typically work with Fortune 500 and Fortune 1000 companies, talk about leadership and overcoming adversity and the upside of change. But this past weekend...
Hold on. And the upside of change.
Yeah, a lot of businesses are dealing with change all the time. And so I've gone through a ton of change since 2006, physically and mentally from my injuries, but also just with changing career paths and leaving the Marine Corps and kind of reinventing myself. So I help put the change they're going through in perspective and show that we can overcome whatever challenges are in front of us if we put our mind to it.
Okay. All right. So, and I think it's interesting. When you go speak, Justin, what are people most interested in terms of the whole veteran thing? I mean, because we certainly have our own perspective as we look at as we look at corporate America and going back out, and whether you're starting a business or you're going to join one, you know, how do I do this thing? How do I relate to it? You know, with my own experiences, how did they look at us?
Well, uniformly, they look at us with a lot of respect and admiration. I mean, even just pure statistics show that Department of Defense is the most respected agency in America. Maybe it has a very high rating, somewhere around 80% of people feel very strongly about it. And so, obviously, it crosses over the whole political spectrum. But I'm typically asked to come in and speak at corporations or major associations, whether it's an annual sales conference or more typically a leadership conference. For instance, recently, twice, I spoke to Nestle Waters, which is a very big company. They had a leadership conference up at their headquarters in Connecticut, and then they had a second-level leadership conference down in Orlando. And so both times, and they're going through a lot of change as they're trying to, the water industry, like practically every industry is very competitive,
right,
facing a lot of regulatory issues. They're dealing with issues because their headquarters is outside the country, and so there's some cultural issues they're trying to adapt to. But so they asked me to come down and talk about leadership and managing change. And so when I talk about basic leadership lessons that I learned in the Marine Corps that we've all learned, and frankly, I'm sure in the other services too, very similar, they really appreciate that because they know that we value leadership, that we stress it from day one, whether you're enlisted or officer. And so, the name of my speech is called Officer Heat Last. And so, one part of that is that when, especially in the Marine Corps, it's important for us for the lower ranking folks to eat first and the most senior person to eat last. And we have a whole culture designed around that kind of mindset. And so, of course, I talk about other things as well, but that's what I focused on. And it's very well received, and they realize that, if the Marines and other service members can really adapt this philosophy and really a philosophy and a mindset of taking care of each other, and that just up and down the chain. And what does that do for leadership? And it means the people who are below you trust you. It means you are trusting the people below you because you have so much shared experience, and also people who are above you know that you're doing the right things with your people and you have a good vision and a good mission, and these types of things all tie together. And so it all stems from leadership lessons from the Marine Corps. And, I can't say enough about it. I mean, I almost always get a standing ovation. I know a lot of that is not necessarily because of what I say, although I hope that's part of it, but it's also because of the respect they have for the Marine Corps and veterans and Wounded Warriors in general.
Justin Constantine on a Monday morning, my guest. We're talking about the speaking that Justin does relative to Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 companies, being an advocate for entrepreneurs, veteran entrepreneurs, and also just veteran employment in general. Give me the message relative to change. You obviously, for those of you who don't know, Justin, gunshot wound to the head, the round enters back behind the left ear, Justin?
Yep, that's right.
And then exits the front of your face, where about?
Mm-hmm. Right out of my mouth.
Right out of his mouth. And so he's dealt with that, everything that entails. Talk about, real quick, no brain damage, though?
No, I mean, I have a slight rating for a traumatic brain injury. Miraculously, the bullet went through my head in an angle, so it didn't hit my brain or my spinal column or anything like that. I have some memory issues, but nothing significant, nothing compared to what a lot of other guys have.
I would imagine that memory issue, it often becomes convenient, yes? That might not be a bad thing to have.
I said that? Hold on, no.
What? What?
I don't remember that.
You must be have me confused with somebody else.
There's no way I would do that.
No way I would ever say that. Yeah. You know what? I never thought about that. The
long-term plan of mine.
Exactly. It all comes together now.
Right.
What about go ahead.
We talk about change. I just, you know, my message there, generally speaking, is that change is good, and change is something we should embrace because it's going to happen regardless. And you can't have innovation without change. And so I show some pictures of what I looked like when I was first injured up until now. But I talk about the trajectory that I'm on now with my life and how because of something terrible that happened, I've now been forced to really evaluate what I want to do with my life and where I want to be in 5 to 10 years and how that's helped me lead a really well-intentioned life and an impactful life. So people in the audience, it's not necessarily from a business perspective, although that's the mission, that's the main point there, but it really appeals to them in their personal lives as well, because I think a lot of us are struggling with, you know, how should I spend my time? We have a limited amount of time in a day and while we're here on Earth in general, and how can I be most productive, most impactful? How can I spend time working on what I want to work on and not just kind of be a pinball and just reacting and bouncing around from crisis to crisis? And so, you know, I do a lot of reading on this topic. I've just finished going through a 6-month course on coaching so I can help others develop these ideas too. And so it's something I think is getting more and more popularity out there and more people are talking about it. But I do think it's important for folks to focus on that so you are leading a well-intentioned life.
A well-intentioned life. I want to ask you about we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the concept of post-traumatic growth. You and I have never really discussed it, but I'm curious about your thoughts on it. I first heard the term from General Mattis, a speech he gave, and it immediately got my attention. And so it's challenging in a lot of different ways when you look at the whole combat experience in the context of history. And I know we're all affected very differently, but essentially the contention is, you know, you can do a couple things with this. And a lot of guys over history have used it to become better people. So how much of that is in our control? How do we do it? I'm going to get your thoughts on that. So we're going to take a quick break. We're talking business. We're talking a little bit of Justin Constantine's line of work, which is his message to employers, his message to veterans, and the challenging of recovering if you've been wounded, as well as we'll talk about post-traumatic growth on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of this program coming up next on a Monday morning.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, or a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good. And I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Jackson Brown. The song's called Running on Empty. If you've never heard it, don't worry about it. That means you're a boot. 7:44 on the West Coast, 10:44 on the East Coast. Justin Constantine, retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel and a wounded warrior, public speaker now, author on leadership, an author on change in life and how to deal with it, and public speaker. So we're talking. We've been talking about things this morning. Let's talk about post-traumatic growth. First of all, are you familiar with the term? Where did you hear it? And give me your thoughts on it.
Yeah, certainly I am familiar with the term, Mac, and I probably started hearing it 2 or 3 years ago, I think. There are different blogs out there about it specifically. The ones I've seen are tied to veterans, but I'm sure it's far broader than that, since most cases of post-traumatic stress or PTSD are from civilians, not veterans. So, I think just generally speaking, it means turning something positive out of something bad to happen to you. And that's kind of what I was mentioning earlier about how I've been able to put myself on a different trajectory, started doing things differently, and turn my life around after being shot in the head. And so it's about, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade, kind of, where you just have to take something bad that happened and try to reframe it and turn it around and use it to your advantage. And there's a lot of veterans who are doing that. There's a lot of great veterans who have started nonprofits based on what they've been through, and which are now helping tons and tons of fellow veterans and civilians as well. So I think generally that's what you're talking about.
Okay. I want to give you a reaction to that, and it's kind of captured in this email. In fact, the first time I heard the term post-traumatic growth, my initial reaction was, hey, fuck you. You grow through this, man. But it took me a while to really sit down and think about it. And I think, honestly, that's the whole point behind it is, look, it's a difficult, complex experience, and it doesn't leave you easily, if ever at all. The point, I think, in post-traumatic growth is it's got to be more than being medicated, and it's got to be more than simply the bad memories. It's using that to send you to a better place. I listened to your interview with Charlie Linville not too long ago, and I can't get his comments out of my head where, you know, Charlie Linville's in Manhattan now. You should go look him up and say hi to him.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's the guy who went to the top of Mount Everest.
Well, okay, got it.
The staff sergeant. So, anyway,
yeah.
wounded in Helmand and lost a leg and
yeah.
all that. So, and the email goes on.
Incredible story.
Yeah, I can't get his words, and that I needed something big in my life that I could use to push this pain to the side so it wasn't the focal part of my day every day. Mac, I think that's really important. I've also come to enjoy listening to you and the Gunner every day. And it seems to me that Mike is a happier guy now that he has volunteering in his life. I don't know if you think that. No, let me tell you. You can tell it in his voice. And then he goes on. So I think there's a few elements here. One is, if you exclusively focus on yourself and not helping others, I think that's not a good thing. And the second thing is finding something in your life that you can focus on, whether it's climbing to the top of Mount Everest or building a small business that you're passionate about, and so that you have passion in your life, it's channeled in a different direction. Because if you don't, and you're kind of living a passive existence going to work, I think that is where it reaches out and grabs you and pulls you back in. So I think it's a term that requires some thought relative to how you go forward with it. I appreciate the discussion this morning. Go ahead.
I agree completely. I mean, your listener there who wrote that, that's a very insightful email. And I think he or she is spot on, because I understand those feelings at the beginning about screw you, because you're dealing with a lot of pain, whatever it is that caused that post-traumatic stress. That was a significant event in your life. Is a traumatic event, and it just doesn't go away on its own. That's why I went to counseling for a year and a half, and now I'm on a board of directors for probably five different nonprofits and co-founded my own in 2015 as well, because those things are therapeutic, and you're helping others, and you're volunteering, just like your listener said. That enables you to take what you've learned by going through something rough and helping others. That's a timeless story. I mean, we so many of us have done that and have benefited from that. So I couldn't agree more. But it does take introspection, which can be hard. And for me, that was through the counseling, where I had a lot. You know, it was every week, and that was a lot of discussions with my psychologist. So what bothers me and why, and how can I move forward? And also with my wife as well. And you know, it took hours of work. It doesn't happen from staying home, watching TV or working some dead-end job or just relying on medication. It takes proactivity. But that's also what we learn in the military, is to take bold, decisive action and to feel comfortable relying on the rest of our fire team as well.
Let me read you another email. Hey, Mac, interesting discussion, and I really enjoyed the last email, which kind of prompted me to write this. I think the hardest part, for me anyway, was when I went home. I lost all the structure that was around me, and I wound up on the couch watching TV, ordering pizza. I was alone, I didn't relate to my friends anymore. I couldn't really unburden myself to them. And I got a job, and I was hating my life. I was that guy. The guy you guys are talking about, I was that guy. And it took me probably some things I'm not real proud of in terms of alcohol abuse and drug abuse to hit rock bottom. Thankfully, nothing happened to me relative to the legal system, but I remember having a conversation with a battle buddy who said to me, "Hey, man, get your motherfucking shit together. When did you turn into this pathetic pussy that I'm talking to?" You know, and in a moment of sobriety, that hit me like a ton of bricks, that I had become something that I had always disdained. However, I do think when you get off active duty and all that camaraderie, no matter how much we ridicule it, that uniformity, that structure goes away. It's a huge challenge for us, and some of us don't handle it well. I first heard that term probably 6 months ago, and I thought it was bullshit, to be honest with you. But it didn't get out of my head. And the more I've thought about it, and the more I've read about it, the more I've kind of found my way. And I almost took it as a little bit of a challenge in terms of other guys from other conflicts can use that to become better, and I was somehow going to be disabled by it. That pissed me off. I guess maybe it's the competitor in me, and probably those things that pushed me towards the Marine Corps to begin with. Who the fuck are they that they can do something that I can't do? And it, which sounds right, which sounds like something somebody says when they go to get sent to boot camp and then get there and go, uh-oh. Your thoughts on all that. I think that's probably the most critical. And I don't know how we do that handoff now, if it's good. Did you have any coordinating instructions when you, let's say, left Walter Reed, got medically discharged and went home to wherever you went home? Did you get anything that said, hey, you need to, you know, report to these guys at 08 on Monday so they can continue this? Or was it just stuff recommended to you?
Yeah, recommended. For instance, was Given Hour, which is on their website, givenhour.org.
Right.
That was where I went to my mental health counseling. That was free, and it's for Coast 9/11 vets and their families around the country. And that was because I met the founder at an event, the USO event, and we started talking, and I said I was having trouble because the VA wasn't able to accommodate my schedule. And she was telling me about Given Hour, and I told a lot of people about it since then. But I don't feel like, let's get back to this last email. Again, very insightful, pretty tight to long email, short amount of time, but you know, she's exactly, I think it's an internal language, but he's probably exactly right. Leaving active duty and just the security of having friends around you who you trust, and when you go home, you may not have that. You feel differently around your civilian friends. I can relate to that intimately. And, you know, maybe I don't laugh as much as I used to, or you know, maybe I don't know. There's a lot of conflicting emotions and feelings right there, and it takes a while. But there's a lot of groups out there who have sprouted since 9/11 that want to help, whether it's a big one like Team Red, White, and Blue, or, you know, Team Rubicon, or right. We Warrior Project, or other groups out there that have events all around the country. I guess the thing is that your mindset has to be, I have to reach out and find these groups. You know, people who want to help me, I have to take that first step.
Right.
Compare that, contrast that to the military, where there's a gunny around who's going to tell you what to do next, or a major or one officer, someone who's going to guide you. It's not like that once you leave. And typically the government is not going to be there to provide those resources that you need where you'll find the camaraderie, you'll find people who are solely interested in making sure you have any health and recovery. There are some government resources, but there are a lot outside the government as well. And it takes time to find those networks. It takes concentrated effort, but the benefit is huge.
Let me read you one more.
Sure.
Good morning, Mac. I'm listening to your show for the first time, and I'm enjoying the conversation. I was told that it was a pretty cool radio show. Honestly, I think it's the first place I've ever heard somebody drop motherfucker. I apologize for the profanity, but not really. I first heard that term probably 3 months ago, and I didn't understand it at first. I thought it was stupid. But I will tell you, I think the most important thing that I did was when I came home was I just joined a group. It was just a group of veterans, and now there are some of my better friends in town. I can go unburden myself to them. We just have a good time together, and now it's more social, but I know they're there for me. And I just did that kind of on accident. I was at a party getting drunk, and I bumped into a guy who knew that I had been in the Marine Corps, knew I'd been to Iraq and Afghanistan, and introduced me to another friend of his that was in this group. And so just by accident, really, I got involved in it. And really, it was the best thing that happened to me since I got out. I have people to talk to and sort this stuff out, so I never really felt alone. And a lot of those guys were further down the road than I was in this process of trying to figure it out. Everybody has some degree of success or failure in it, but getting connected was probably the best thing that I did. If you're not connected, let me tell you, brothers, get connected to something, to somebody, get to a group. It helps a lot as you try to figure it out. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
See you.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. One thing that's important for Matt is not only did he benefit from someone talking to him, but, the power that is avowed by what you can provide somewhere else. Like, someone told him about this group he joined. He's growing. He's getting back, feeling better, feeling closer. So there are a lot of opportunities where, as individuals, we can help spread the message and tell folks about opportunities. And so that's one thing I talk about, frankly, in my presentations, is how important it is to help other people. And I can just see by recommending a resource that you know, because this is why Yelp is so positive, so popular, because people care if it's been recommended by someone else. And if someone recommends a resource to me, I'm going to check it out because it's proven, it's vetted. They say, yes, I went here, it was good, these are good people. So I'll check it out. If you just stay silent and you're not thinking, at least in the back of your head, how can I help these other friends of mine or people I know who may be struggling, you're not really helping, and you're kind of focused inward, which is not, it's not helpful. One separate note, we talked about entrepreneurship, and I just want to put a plug in. If any of your listeners are thinking about going down the entrepreneurship route and are wounded, ill, or injured, which of course includes physical or mental, and with any sort of rating, the program I went through is called the Entrepreneurship Bootcamp for Veterans with Disabilities, and EVV is the acronym. This past weekend, I spoke at an EVV graduation at St. Joe's University in Philadelphia.
Wow.
There's probably a dozen colleges around the country that have this program now. And so as long as I look up EVV, it's about 3 months online, and then it's about 10 days at the university.
Mm-hmm.
It's free for all the vets. And I think they have one for such a one for reservists, and I think one for women is separate also, and the rest are joint. And so it's a fantastic resource. It's got, professors, successful entrepreneurs, people from big business teaching classes. So that's just a plug for your listeners who are interested in that. And veterans are way overrepresented in small business. Even though we make up 1% of the population, almost one in ten businesses are veteran-owned. So we have entrepreneurs.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And so there's a lot of us out there. And you'll find there's no point in going down this road all by yourself without some sort of training.
All right. Our time is up. First of all, thoroughly enjoyed the discussion, even though it wasn't current events-based, so we'll have to do this more often. But the now, you know what, I think the whole experience in this, this idea of post-traumatic growth and us kind of, it's not a lifelong disability. It is certainly an experience, but Vietnam guys have used it to come back and given everything they went through, you know, it didn't destroy them. Guys in World War II came back and built the world that we live in right now, for better, for worse. No, I would say virtually almost all for the better. Same thing with guys from Korea, you know, World War I's and veterans in general have used this. And again, it's not easy, and we know that. And so I think the simple lessons are, you know, when you get that thought in your head, post-traumatic growth, what are they talking about and what is it? And then the second thing is give that some thought, I would say. And then the second part of that is, you know, get connected to something. Whether let me tell you, go down to the Marine Corps detachment. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys, you're going to meet guys down there. They've dealt with the VA in your community. They might be able to help you with a job. They're former Marines. They speak the language, you know, and they're of all ages now. I mean, it's getting more and more popular to join that thing. But just join a group and get connected to somebody, and you'll be surprised, I think, how good that is for you. Emotionally, how good it is for you personally, and then, you know, you never know what happens, but I think being connected is certainly probably the first step. So, anyway, your final thoughts, everybody?
Final thoughts is, you know, your listeners are right. These challenges are not easy, and it's easy to say, screw you, you know what I'm going through, but a lot of us do know what you're going through, and no one's saying, you know, you have to have a serious physical injury for it to be a big deal. Whatever the challenge is you're facing, it's your challenge and it's a big deal. But a lot of us are out there trying to help make a difference. And when you do get better and you do recover, which you will, then look for opportunities to help others who are in your shoes now.
All right. Justin Constantine, Lieutenant Colonel, United States Marine Corps. How did they find you on the Internet?
Oh, thanks. Very easy. JustinConstantine.com.
Spell it. C-O-N-Constantine?
Yeah, C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-I-N-E. So JustinConstantine.com.
All right. All right. Thank you very much for the visit, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Mac. Loved it.
Yeah, no. Awesome. Yeah. All right. That is Justin Constantine here on a Monday. Yeah, you know, Justin's story, pretty interesting story. And, you know, we probably ought to do a little bit more of that in terms of veterans into small business, because it's phenomenal. You know, 10 times the number of people serve, you know, we're 1% of those who, of the population, we are 10% of the small business owners. That's amazing. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk to Matt Morgan here. So we have another segment that we call Crossroads coming up, and looking forward to it. It's about Ned Seath. He's a machine gunner, was a machine gunner in Vietnam, Kilo Company, 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, and was awarded the Navy Cross and the Bronze Star with V device in February of 2012 for actions against the North Vietnamese in 1966. So, took him that amount of time to figure it out. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. Check out the whole line of products at battlemug.com. Very, very cool stuff. If you're looking for the perfect gift for a commemorative event, a promotion, a farewell, a retirement, or any special occasion, go ahead and check it out. You can use the promo code Marine for 15% off. It is a mug like no other. Picatinny rails on the side. M16 carrying handle is the handle for the mug. And if it's in your office, you can buy flags and unit emblems and things like that to put on it. If it's a go to the field device, you can put a scope. Anything you can put on your weapon, you can put on your mug. Yeah, boom. So check it out, battlemug.com, a veteran-owned and operated business made entirely in the United States. When we come back, Matt Morgan and a Monday edition of Crossroads happens next as we continue. My thanks to Justin Constantine for coming on. Yeah, Justin, interesting dude. More of Allman Radio coming up next.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.